Awesome. Ready for our next step in our series together. By the way, let me start out by saying thanks to whoever heard me talk about Oreo cookies. Last week, somebody popped double stuffed Oreo cookies on my desk on Friday. I just want to say thank you. I also like BMWs too, and so if you, no, I'm kidding. So thank you. Whoever brought me double stuffed Oreos, I appreciate that right at Thanksgiving when I need to lose weight. And facing the wonderful time to nobody starts a diet. Anybody starting a diet this week? Anybody praying about that this week? Nope, not a chance. Is it not a chance? Well, I'm so glad you're here. It is Thanksgiving week, and my goodness, how much do we have to be thankful for? We could stop and celebrate a long time about that which we are thankful for. But we are in a series this morning that we began last Sunday and talking about making change. How do we make change in our lives? How do we manage those resources that God has blessed us with and given to us? And so we talked about last week four things. And so before I pop them up on the screen, hopefully maybe they're in your mind. And if you cheat, you'll see them on the front of your bulletin. But we talked about four themes we're talking about this week. And last week we talked about what? Less is more, right? Goes against our grain, against our thinking, against our ways. Less is more. Today we're going to talk about stress is bad, right? Let's say that together. Stress is bad. So first of all, say it with me. Less is more. Stress is bad. Who likes stress? I mean, who wants to sign up for that this week, right? But of course, some of us are going to be stressed this week. We're going to in-law's house. I am. And so there's going to be stress because we're going to see people we don't normally see on a day-to-day basis, perhaps, and be crammed into houses and places that don't normally fit that number of people. And we're all going to smile and be thankful, right? It's going to cause stress. Stress is bad. Everybody knows that, right? But sometimes we make decisions that cause more stress. And in our finances, we do that a lot, especially as a nation. So less is more. Stress is bad. The next one we'll talk about is that tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters. The fourth one is giving is good, right? That's not a big shock to say that. And we're going to kind of flip the order. We're going to flip the way the series is designed to go is tomorrow matters is the last one. But I'm going to flip that because I want to hit the giving is good on December, the first Sunday in December. So we'll flip those. So let's say these together now just because I want to get them in your mind. And hopefully maybe by the time we're through this series, you can say all four of these because these are biblical truths, biblical principles we find in Scripture. Let's say them together now. Less is more. This means all together, by the way. Okay, say it together. Ready now. Less is more. Stress is bad. Tomorrow matters. And giving is good, right? These are things we know, but sometimes we can easily forget. And so Scripture has some incredible truths for us to think about, in particular this morning, about financial stress. You know, I've done a lot of counseling over the years, and I can honestly say I've never had somebody come into my office and say, you know what, preacher, we've got some problems. But I'll tell you one thing, it does not cause a problem. In fact, it's really helped our marriage a lot is we are in so much debt. It has just brought us closer together. I mean, we're hoping to probably maybe get in some more debt so that we can maybe have less problems, right? Never had that happen. I have had the opposite happen, right? There's no question because stress is caused by sometimes bad decisions, right? Nobody ever says, you know what? This massively high rate I got on my credit card of 19.3% is just really made our intimacy is just incredible. I mean, it's just awesome. And how much better could life get if I could just pray to get a higher interest rate level on some money that I've borrowed, right? Every night I go to bed, I just stop and thank God for the debt I'm in. I just thank God for that. Good. This is either a very sore subject or you don't know what to do with it. It's okay to laugh, right? No, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Nobody goes to bed thinking that. But the reality is, in how we make daily decisions, sometimes that's how we live. And that's how our culture lives. Nobody said, but I have heard people say this. I wish I had more to give away to people that were in need. I have heard that before. And I wish one of us could stand with the kids, but that's not even close to be an option. And we're fighting all the time. I've heard that. I wish we could travel. I wish we could take a vacation. I've heard people say those things. But, you know, the thing is, sometimes, the truth is, a lot of us were not taught maybe how to have financial wisdom and make good financial decisions, right? A lot of us, some of you went to college, you got your first credit card application, maybe before you ever went to college, it promised you the moon, low interest rate, no payments for 6 months. We hear all these things that are designed to lure people in to thinking I need something that I really can't afford. When it's the truth. You can use an example of people who make decisions. I remember the very first car that I bought. I bought a Toyota Camry. Right, I'd had a car through college, and it had run on its last leg, and I needed a new car. And so I was making an incredible amount of money as a youth minister at Beth Salem Baptist Church and going to school, paying for my seminary. I mean, I was smoking in the dough. You hear me? I mean, I was raking it in. I'd never had a salary before like that. I was making like once you cut all my benefits out, it's like $15,000 a year full time. I mean, I was making the dough. You got me, right? My school debt was about $1,500 a semester. I mean, so take home pay to pay for gas. And what I stopped to fail to realize is my seminary was about 90 miles one way. About 90 miles one way. So it's about 100 and, well, maybe not, maybe it's 80 miles, something like that, 70, 80 miles. So it's about 160, 170 mile round trip commute. Well, I go to buy a car from a guy who goes to church in our association. And he's like, I can work you out a deal. And I felt really good about that because I didn't think that anybody would ever do, a preacher wrong. But he says, you know what, so we go and look at cars. Well, of course I can't afford the car I want, right? I mean, that's the car I want, right? We have new ways to make your car more affordable. You ever heard that from a car salesman before, right? So he says, we got a new way to make your car affordable. We have this new thing called leasing your car. I'm like, leasing? What is that? He said, well, listen, here's the good news. Notice, doesn't explain what leasing is. He just says, this is all you have to do is you have to put like $1,000 down, right? And you have a really, really low monthly payment, right? I said, sure, that sounds great. And he said, at the end of 3 years, you don't want it, you just trade it back in and just go get another one. I'm like, that is the greatest thing ever. I mean, I'd love to have a new car every 3 years. He said, just don't drive more than about 15,000 miles. I was like, okay, that's no problem. That's great. This is fantastic. And so I get that car and just remember back to I have a 180-mile round-trip commute at least two days a week. And so then fast forward, I have a deer that for some reason wanted to attack my car on a county road and decided to destroy it, and it did. And it's a bad day. So then I go back to the guy, like, this car is damaged. He says, you just need to get a new car. That's what you really need to do, That's good advice. So I'm listening to this guy. This guy's a deacon in his local church. He said, you need to do that. I'm so sure. I'll lease another car. This is the second one. I mean, I got rid of the other one. I got my new one. This other one wasn't damaged, right? Well, what I didn't realize was that my semester, then I had to start going to school 4 days a week. You see where this is going, right? So after about year one of having that car, you're only supposed to put on 15,000. I had 32,000 miles on my one-year-old car. I moved to Louisiana. Louisiana somehow gets away with perhaps one of the worst, I don't know how they do it, it's robbery, quite frankly. I don't know how they do it. When you move into Louisiana, if you bring a car into Louisiana, you have to pay sales tax on that car. So if you ever move to Louisiana, just be aware of this when you do that. You need to take a cheap junker car, that buy it, and then go buy a new in Louisiana, because I'd already paid Alabama sales tax. For some reason, Louisiana thinks they can get sales tax too. And so I had a brand new car. The sales tax was $1,800. I'd like to have died. I'm like, I'm not paying $1,800 in a car. So I go find out how much do I owe. Can I just trade this puppy in? They said, sure, that's no problem. We'll get you another one. Only problem is you're going to pay 5 cents, 10 cents a mile per overage, the 15,000 miles. Oh, my goodness, that's exactly what I said. I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. I thought I took that deacon's name in vain from Alabama. I thought, man, this guy was doing me a favor, right? So then I got to do another new car because I wasn't going to pay tax on that one, the one I owed. And so you talk about the awesome financial word of upside down. I had a car that was worth very little or worth a lot, and I owed a whole lot more, right? And then I got the situation where I changed that car, got that car. Then I get a Blazer. This is awesome. These are the great car decisions I've made in my life. And so then I get a Blazer, right? Well, that's a great car until I find out that they're not going to make the Blazer anymore. And all of a sudden, the year they just stopped making the Blazer, they make the Trailblazer. You'll notice which car I'm driving now. This was in the year 2002. And so, well, sir, I hate to tell you this, but the Blazer's value dropped about $3,000 because they're not going to make them anymore. And if you do 90,000 miles on your car, then nobody's going to lend anybody money to buy that car. Stuck again. But make no mistake, by this point, I was about to get married, and that made me smarter for some reason. I don't know why that was, but I got smarter, and I thought, I'm not doing this again. Well, look, we can finance this baby out. We got brand new financing. We'll take this puppy out for 60 months. We'll stretch that payment out. We'll lower your payment. We'll lower that payment out. No. I learned that lesson. I'm not doing that again. I know what that means. That means I'm going to pay more money, right? So I bought the car in 2002, and in the year 2016, I'm still driving that Trailblazer. And that baby, let me tell you what, it makes some racket. And I hope it doesn't, I don't know if it embarrasses you or not. It does, you just have to get over it. But I drive it up. Maybe you want your preacher driving a nice vehicle. I don't know, but I'm going to buy that because you know, I'm going to keep that one. You know why? Because I own it. It's mine. The bank, when I made that last payment, oh, that was such a great day. I think I told you, sir, I always want to write on there just like a big old nanana-boo-boo, you know, kind of thing. It's my car now. It's not yours. You don't own it anymore, right? Financial decisions. You see, we don't sometimes understand, and I didn't. I'm not very smart mathematically, but I did kind of get this part, because then one time the guy promised me 72 months financing, or now the new one, 84 months financing. But let me give you the math on how this actually works out, right? Because some of us that struggle about this don't understand. So somebody says, I'm going to get a new truck. I need a new truck. It's $48,000. I can't afford that. But somebody says, listen, we'll stretch it out over 72 months, right? A lot of you, I don't know where your credit is, but a lot of people have bad credit. One of the things that I really value in my life is having good credit. Preachers are notorious by not having good credit because they don't make wise financial decisions a lot of times. That's just the truth. But a lot of people don't make wise financial decisions. So you go to borrow money, you can't borrow money to a certain rate, you got to borrow at a higher rate. So a lot of people go and buy a truck, they can't afford it, 19% interest, right? You think that's ridiculous. It happens a lot, I'm telling you. They go to pay that, but here's the reality. So if you took $48,000, and so some of you can check the math here, and I think this is correct. If you financed it over 72 months, right, guess how much money you'd pay on that car? You ready for this? Over that loan, you would pay $81,000 for that truck that only cost $48,000. Now, granted, when you buy a car, typically most of us, you can't afford to pay cash unless you buy a very old used vehicle, you can maybe pay cash that way, but the vast majority have to borrow to buy. But the issue is how long do you borrow and what interest rate do you borrow and how much vehicle can you actually afford? So you get through that time frame, what's that vehicle worth? Maybe $10,000 to $12,000. So you got a work vehicle that's worth $12,000, you've paid $81,000. Now I want you to think about this. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at math. That's not good math, right? I paid double almost what the vehicle was worth, and at the end of the day, it only be worth $10,000. So we've got to have some understanding and ask God to give us understanding. Because here's the scripture we're going to talk about this morning, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, which says this, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." A borrower is a slave to the lender. Now, we'll get quiet in here because some of you, you make great financial decisions. You're doing very well. You're like Dave Ramsey. I've met some of you. You're Dave Ramsey gurus, right? Financial peace. You've been through it, which I would encourage any of you to go through. And so you're going, I kind of get this, and you do. You can help others understand this. But others of us, a lot of us, our parents didn't sit down with us and say, listen, this is how you keep your checkbook. This is how you make wise financial decisions. So as a result, we find ourselves in incredibly stressful decisions because we've made bad ones in regards to our money. The borrower begins to be in bondage. We're in bondage to what we owe. And so that which we thought we needed actually becomes something that chokes the life out of us. Now think about it. If you are in that moment, or maybe you can remember back to when you were in that bondage, how great is it to be in a place where you are financially free? Right? That's a great place. When you don't owe anybody anything, that's a good place to be, isn't it? For those of you there, amen, it is. It's a great place to be. Right? We don't owe anybody anything. It cuts down our stress because here's the deal. Life is stressful enough. Why add more to it? Right? I try to in my house the best that I can. If I don't have cash to pay for it, guess what I do? I don't buy it. Now, is that easy to do? No. Nope. It's not. I'll be driving down the road sometimes and I've had a really, really bad day and this thought pops in my brain. I don't know if you've ever had this happen. I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I just need to go buy something. I just feel better. You ever had that thought before? Am I the only one? If you've ever had that before, raise your hand. Just so I don't know. Oh, I'm like, good. I thought I need to go into a mental institution. I was not sure. I think that's a terrible thought. Why am I thinking that? I don't need anything. Good night. I mean, maybe a new pack of T-shirts or something. That's fine. You know, undershirts. That's great. But other than that, what do I need? I don't need anything. I have all that I need. But I just think, what if I just go buy, I don't know, another CD or, well, no, you don't even know what CDs are, teenagers. You go get another thing on the iTunes. You got another little thing on your, whatever. I don't know how you get all that, but I've still got my CDs. But anyway, you go buy something, right? So I want to pray that we think about these from a different direction, because here's the statement I want you to get. That every single one of us would want something different and want something better than where you are. Three prayers to help us get out of financial stress. Very simple, not rocket science, but I think very helpful. Number one, notice this in your outline, is this: God give me self-control. God give me self-control. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says this: like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks what? Self-control, right? That's what the scripture says. Now, all of us love to say to ourselves, well, I'm very self-controlled. Well, some of us are, right? For me, I can go into all kind of places and they just don't affect me. I can go into a clothing store, a mall, and I'm good. I believe, as a typical man, I believe in like attack shopping, okay? Like, so yesterday, I got the call, I was at a wedding, and I had to go to Walmart on Saturday. The dreaded phone call from the wife. Walmart on Saturday afternoon. There was about 9 billion people in Petal Walmart yesterday, if you didn't go. I was there, and I went and got some cornmeal. We didn't have cornmeal. We got the wrong things. We went and got cornmeal, right? So before I went in, I had mapped out my entrance and my exit, okay? Men, do you do this? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I've already mapped out where I'm going to park. I know where I park, the same spot almost every time, the certain row. Are y'all done this before? All right. And so I go in the same row, right, the same spot. I know which door I'm going in. I go in the exit door, by the way, every time, because the people going in the entrance door are walking too slow, because I'm in attack mode, all right? So if you see me and I ignore you, I'm ignoring you, okay? I just want you to know that. It's not because I don't like you, but I'm on a mission, right? And I'm going in, and I've mapped out, okay? I'm going first to the bread thing, because, I mean, the cornmeal stuff, because it's the heaviest, right? Then I'm going to go over and get some diapers. So we got a shower. We got to get the diapers. I went and got the diapers. And Heather, good news, I got the diapers. It had the box. I got you a box. I wasn't supposed to get a box, but I couldn't carry it with the box. So I got a box because I had the handle in it. I was calculating my attack mode. I already decided this before I went in the store. And so I got that. And then I had to get bread. I had to get that last because bread would smush. So I had to get the bread. I'm out the exit aisle and out I go. I did not walk by the aisles thinking, you know what, I need me one of those Under Armour shirts over there. There was no temptation for me, right? Now, some of you walk into Walmart, and all of a sudden, you just glaze over. Quit lying. Some of you, I've seen you. I've like stalked you. I've watched you. You walk into the mall, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh. Right? And that's Walmart's hope, by the way, right? All those things down the middle aisle, right? They jacked the price up the week before and lower the price next week, right? You notice that? Why? Because here's what they know. Most people don't have self-control. God, give me self-control. The scripture says here, we become like a city that has no walls. We have no walls, no barriers built up in our lives, right? To make certain. It's like, you know, that again, we talked about last week, that precious spot when your three-year-old turns into the devil when you go to checkout. They're fine the whole time, and then they go to the checkout, and all of a sudden, all that stuff that they cram into the area you're trying to check out in, let's thank God for self-checkout because they don't have that there. Praise God for that. And so you got to fight the battle, right? Why? Because kids have no self-control. So we have to be careful to control the kid that is inside of all of us that is dying to get out on a daily basis, especially for wherever you're weak and whatever it might be for you. For some of you, it's going to a hunting store, guys. You walk into Bass Pro Shop, and I mean, just the drool just salivates down your... You see camo, you see guns, you see... My oldest son walks into fishing thing, and they walk down, there's like 9 aisles of fishing lures. Now, granted, we already have 476 fishing lures, right? But we might need just one more. Just one more. Just one more tackle box, one more fishing rod, one more fishing pole, one more fishing tackle something, right? We don't have self-control. We all have it, right? Ladies, you typically do it smaller, typically, right? And ladies, you're usually, some ladies, right, it clearance sale, all right? Oh, this is so good. I love watching the looking back and forth to each other. This is so good. We'll provide marital counseling next week as well to help you work through all this. But anyway, so clearance sale. But it was on clearance, right? That's our weak thing. Guys, we just go buy a boat. We don't buy anything clearance. Forget that. We're going to buy a boat. And if I bought a boat, I got to buy a trailer. And might as well buy some Sea-Doos while I'm at it because I got the boat and I really can't do the Sea-Doos. Or we go buy a big vehicle, whatever. We go big. Ladies tend to go more in chunks. bottom line is all of us have to think and pray through, Lord, give me self-control. And here's what we got to learn to say. And this is hard. We have to learn to say the magic words, no. Now, a lot of us, we don't say no to anybody else. We don't say no to ourselves a lot of times. Because when the devil begins to tell us, this is my favorite, he tells me, well, Brad, you do deserve that. I mean, you do deserve that. I mean, you deserve to have this, right? The enemy lies to us, right? But if we'll say no for a little while, watch this, you can say yes the rest of your life. You can say no for a little while. No to a vacation 1 year. No to this, no to that, no snacks, no this, no that, and cut everything out of your life for a year or two. Dave Ramsey calls it I forget what the statement is he says, but I've heard him from time to time. You got to live miserable. You got to live on ramen noodles, right? Ramen, however you like to say it, ramen noodles, right? And cut out all the extra stuff that everybody else might have that you don't have. But if you ever want to have some of those things, then you're going to have to make wise financial decisions. I promise you, I don't live like I do now than I did when I was 22 and leasing that Toyota Camry that was gold colored. I moved to Baton Rouge. I was so in debt up to my eyeballs with student debt for my seminary degree, and I didn't know it, but I was up to debt my eyeballs with my car. But now I can make different decisions because I finally learned early on to say no to things that I thought I had to have, right? I moved there. I had an old set of golf clubs. I made another one wise decision. I bought a set of golf clubs. I went to play golf with everybody, all my preacher friends. They had like these super nice golf clubs. Now, I'm not that good at golf. I'm enough to just cause enough to people to cuss about pretty much. That's about how good I am. I can hit it from left to right pretty consistently. But I had a new set of golf clubs. I bought a new set of golf clubs. Got some money back on my taxes. Bought a new set of golf clubs. Well, that was right before I realized I was going to pay all that taxes on my car. And then I bought a new car, and down payment, and this and that, right? And then my transmission went out in my car, my Blazer. I didn't have any emergency funds set aside. But I made more money. I made double what I was making in Alabama, but I didn't have any more money. Because you know why? I still wasn't making wise financial decisions. Not awful ones, but just not wise ones. You know what set of golf clubs I've got? That pair I bought in 1998. And, oh, it's so hard to hit with some folks I know because, man, they got these drivers. They're like big as my head, and they're awesome. I got, at the time, was a Cobra, I think. It was like a big Bertha. Now that thing is like a junior Bertha, I mean, at best, right? You know what I'm talking about? And when I hit it, my brothers make fun of us when we play golf like once a year on vacation, and I hit it, and it makes this ting. That's what they'll always say. Here comes ting up to the tee, right? Because the new one's just like, wow, and mine goes ting, right, you know? But every time I say ting, I'm saying cha-ching, you know, because I didn't buy a new set of golf clubs. I'd love to have a pair. It'd be awesome, right? Well, I'm just putting all these things I'd love to have, and that's great. Golf clubs, that'd be good. I'll show up in the office. That'd be fantastic. Not really, dude, please. I'm just totally kidding, right? But you get the idea, right? We have to say no to ourselves, right? So what do? Go to Play It Again Sports. If you just got to have that new driver, then buy somebody who does not making wise financial decisions because the new model came out this year and they traded last year's model in for the new one, right? Take advantage of it, right? If you're going to have that way, make wise financial decisions. Have self-control. Ladies, this is a funny one. Somebody put in here, I didn't make this up. Somebody just mentioned this. Oh, that's pretty funny. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't have any money. Well, but they get their nails done every single week, right? Ladies, I want to give you a hint of something about something. Okay, this is funny, all right? I have never been around with a group of guys, and they said, man, my wife's nails are smoking hot. Never. I've never heard a dude say that. And we wouldn't say that. We'd never admit that. We'd never, you know, like, we'll look at your fingernails. This is going to be real. We're just going to keep it down real. We can laugh on a Thanksgiving Sunday, right? We're not checking out your nails. Yeah, but I'm checking out my nails. Man, doing those nails things is expensive. And I think it's going to cause brain damage to a lot of women over the years because of all the fumes in that stuff. Man, if you, wow, guys, just walk by one of those joints. Somebody's, wow, right? So, but I need to get my nails done. You do. You take care of your fingers. And I get the idea, but maybe you only go to once a month or once a quarter, right? You get the idea. We have to have self-control in whatever area it is for us. Ladies, you're like, you're picking on me. You're killing me. Well, guys, maybe you don't play golf twice a week. Maybe you play golf once a week or once a month or less than that. Until you're able to say yes to things, you have to say no for a little while. It's not for forever. If you make the wise decisions for a while, then you can say yes to that which you want to do. And by the way, parents, let me encourage you. You know, your 12-year-old telling you they have to have an iPhone because everybody else has one. You don't have to give in to that.
Uh-oh, I knew it was going to get quiet on that one. Some 12 years going, oh my gosh, preacher, please shut up. I mean, really, right? Not everybody has one, right? But the pressure for us to make certain that our kids have what everybody else has is immense, right? Is it not, parents? It is. And we use an iPhone, use anything else you want to use, right? There's all kinds of different things that we're pressured that if you don't have the resources to do it, listen to me, let me free you up. Your child will not be mentally scarred from it. If they don't have the latest and the greatest. Now, would we like to give it to them? Absolutely. Do I want to give my kids the best? Absolutely, I do. But if I'm going to be a wise financial steward, and I love having this conversation when we talk about church family ministry plan, because for us, it's in our budget. For us, Lottie Moon, we think about Lottie Moon. I'm thinking Lottie Moon from January till now. I've already thought about what that is, but if I'm going to give a significant gift in December, I can't make unwise decisions in June. I have to be thoughtful and well and thinking through, and sometimes it means I have to say no to stuff that I might want to say yes to. I have to have self-control. Help us realize less is more and stress is bad. Number two, notice this, the second prayer. God, give me understanding. God, give me understanding. Hosea 4, verse 6. This is a powerful word of Scripture. My people are destroyed, it says, for what? For a lack of knowledge. For a lack of knowledge. Right? They don't understand. They don't get it. They lie to themselves, and maybe they don't really get the truth of how people take advantage of them. And every commercial right now, too, right? I mean, it is phenomenal. The marketing ploys that our culture uses to grab us in to the car dealer, to this place, to that place, same as cash, nothing down, no interest for 19 years, whatever. You know, they give it all to us. Credit cards. Now, we don't get them like we used to. I mean, you remember the day when you used to have like 14 credit card offers in your mailbox a day? You remember those days? Yes, this is yes, this is no. Okay, good. So we get those, right? I started getting them when I was 17 years old, right? Free credit, no interest, no financing for 1 year. Transfer all of your old debt onto the new one, right? You know what? Nobody ever tells you in that credit card statement is every time you open a new credit card account and close another one, your credit score gets hit by like 45 points. So when you go to borrow money later on down the line, they say, well, you've had 9 credit cards. I know, I just kept swapping them. It was awesome. What a financial idea. I got the knowledge, preacher. You just swap it from this one to this one to this one to this one to this one, and you never have to pay interest, right? That's a smart strategy, isn't it? Except when you go to get your credit, and your credit's 425, right? But the knowledge, we don't understand sometimes how that works. And so maybe you're not as slow as I am, but I'm a little slow. The average person in America, you ready for this? The average research or person, the research shows, who has credit card debt, all right? Now, I have a credit card. There's no debt on it. We pay it off every single month, right? But those who have credit card debt, the average amount is $16,000. That is the average in our culture. I know. You went there. I did. I said, help me, Jesus. When I heard that, I thought, oh, my gosh, I would be in the crazy house. I couldn't stand. I can't stand anybody anything. But I want to give you the example of this. The typical person, too, by the way, because they owe that much, their interest rate is typically around 19% on that credit card, right? You only got to miss like 2 payments, be late, the mail lose your thing one time, and they jack that rate, slap up, slap you with a fee, slap you with a fine, right? You know what I'm talking about. It happens, right? 19%. If you paid off, not the minimum, but if you just paid $250 a month on that $16,000 at 19% interest, you know how long it's going to take you to pay it off? 40 years. So let me put that in perspective. I'm 45. If I had that debt, it would take me until I was 85 years old to pay that off at $250 a month. Right? You know how much interest that you get? And I'll round it up a little bit. You know what the interest is? You're going to pay $105,000 in interest on $16,000. You see how they suck us in, right? You got to have it now. Just pay, just charge it. I know you can't afford it, but you can pay it later, right? Just pay it later. Now, here's the kicker. If you take that $16,000 instead of owing it, but you had an extra $16,000, wouldn't that be nice, praise God? You took that same $16,000 and you invested it for 40 years. And let's just say by some miracle chance it's in like a smoking stock market and you got 12% interest on it. Now, that doesn't usually happen, but let's just say there have been some time periods when that does happen. You know how much money you make on that 40 years, that same 40-year time period? $1.5 million. Boy, that gives you a little deeper understanding, doesn't it? Right? Now, if you took that same $16,000 and you don't have the credit card payment, right? Okay, you're already investing at $16,000 a year as it is, and you just add $250 a month extra. Instead of paying on debt, you pay on something forward, right? You just add $250 a month. All you banker people are calculating all this, and this is good. Add that same 12% interest. Do you know how much money you'd have in that 40 years? Over $4 million. Right? So the credit card companies are smart. The furniture companies are smart. The layaway companies are smart. They get it. They understand where our weaknesses are, where we don't have self-control. We don't really have the understanding of what this really means. Right? And so they hide it from us, so we make unwise financial decisions. I want to encourage some of you. If you're in debt, I want to encourage you. I'm not a financial guru. I'm no clue. Dave Ramsey is excellent. He's a Christian. His materials are excellent. And hopefully in 2017, our finance team mentioned this last year, we want to offer some financial peace classes for people who say, you know what? I need to get out of debt. I want to get out of debt. I want to learn how to, or maybe you're not in debt, but you just don't feel like you know how to make wise financial decisions, how to live on a budget. We want to help you do that. This is not beat you up and slam you. This is, we want to help you. Stress is bad. We want to take stress out of your life. The Lord wants to take stress out of your life, but in order to do that, we have to make wise financial decisions. Note the third prayer. Let me close with this. God, give me a plan. That's number one, right? God, give me self-control. God, give me understanding. And thirdly, God, give me a plan. Give me a plan, right? You got to start with somewhere. I've got to have self-control. I've got to learn to say what? No, right? Not no forever, just no for right now, so I can say yes down the road, right? Secondly, I've got to have an understanding. I need to be able to understand. So if I don't understand, you know what I do? I call one of our bankers in our church and I say, help me understand this. Right? I called Lynn Walton the other day and I said, okay, somebody was telling me about this. I don't understand this exactly. I kind of don't, but I do, but I really don't. And she said, no, you really don't. And so she explained it to me in real simple, stupid second grade terms so I could understand it, because that's what it takes for me for math. You got to have an understanding to know what you're doing. And thirdly, you got to have a plan. People say, well, I'm going to get out of debt. How are you going to do it? I have no idea, but I'm going to get out of debt. You know what? You ain't going to get out of debt. You might get a little bit out of debt, but if you don't have a plan on how to do it, you won't get there. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent leads to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. What is the word, the Hebrew word, what does haste mean? Well, I would maybe translate it this way. I felt sad and I went shopping. Don't ever shop when you're sad. Don't ever shop when you're mad. Don't ever shop when you're lonely. You don't know why? Because you will not make a good financial decision. You can wander into debt, but listen, folks, you can never wander out of it. You can stumble into it, but you can't stumble out of it. You have to have a plan. Financial peace offers you that. On your outline, it's got some scripture things you can read. It's a link to a website. You can check those things out. DaveRamsey.com, Financial Peace University. You can Google that and find that. It's a little bit of an investment on your part to get it. Do the videos. Do the workbooks yourselves. It takes you back to the good old days with envelopes, with cash in it. You start living off cash. Dave's going to make you cut up your credit cards, right? Make some hard decisions, right? But it will help you. You got to have a plan. We want to get us to places where we're not saying, well, I wish I hadn't, or this is really tough, or somebody looks down on me because of this, I feel this way, or we're fighting about something. Folks, I want to see our congregation freed up to be able to do the most good with the resources God has given us, right? And you know what? At the end of the day, every one of us want to do that. Nobody wants to be in debt. Nobody wants to struggle in those areas, right? But sometimes things happen, sometimes happen to us that were beyond our control. So we got to find a way to get back to that so that why pray these three prayers? Here's why. So you can do the most good with the resources that you have, that you can invest them eternally in that which will last, right? We as a church family will provide you as many opportunities for you to do that that will go far beyond what you could do by yourself. I know this will hit home for us. Three prayers. God, give me self-control. God, help me to have more knowledge, understanding. If you don't understand something, go ask somebody. If you don't know who to ask, call me. I can recommend a couple of people to you. I don't know how to do retirement. I don't know how to do this. I don't understand the stock market. I just keep putting my money in and hoping one day it'll be there one day, because that's what some financial person told me I should do. Then I trust him and I believe him. It's going to be there. Hopefully. Right? You got to have knowledge. You understand read the fine print. And you understand what this means? That means ask somebody. Right? Have knowledge. Thirdly, get a plan together. I don't know how to get a plan. I don't even know where to start. Then start, right, by saying no. Cut up that credit card, right? Start paying off. I'm going to be a little Dave Ramsey. Start paying off your highest debt that you owe first. And make no new purchases. Well, Brad, praise God. What a great time for you to be sharing this series with us. Christmas is upon us. Thank you so much, right? So what do you have to do? You got to make some wise financial decisions at Christmas. Rebecca and I made a decision a long time ago, and I fudged the last couple of years. I have. But for the longest time, we very first got married, I bought her a piece of jewelry every year. Oh, man, do I love to go and buy. Man, do you love to buy jewelry? I do get good guy out in the jewelry store. Not for me, but for my wife. Those little shiny diamonds, all those little things. And I just go, man. And I look at stuff, I'm like, ooh. Well, then the reality, when I walk in the store, I'm like, oh, I'm not quite so good at it after all when I see the price. But in my first years of marriage, I bought her some jewelry every year for Christmas. But then kids came along, right? And we looked at each other and we said, do you really need anything? I'm trying to figure out something to buy. If I have to stress myself out to figure out what to buy you, then maybe perhaps we just don't need anything. So we made a commitment that what we gave to each other, we would instead of give to Lottie Moon. People say, well, that's not very romantic. Hey, baby, here's my Lottie Moon check. I love you. Merry Christmas. Right? That'll get you some sugar, won't it? That's excellent, right? We decided we didn't need anything else. Now, I'll be honest, I fudged the last couple of years. I've saved up some money secretly from some cash I got, and I put it away. But by and large, we don't give each other gifts. You have to have a plan. So why? Because we want to give to that which will far outlast us. See it? I want to give to this church ministry plan here at Petal First Baptist because I believe there's so many things God wants us to do that we're not yet able to do. But we want to see people freed up to realize that less is really more and that stress is bad, so you got to get out of it. So how do you do it? God, help me have self-control, help me have knowledge, and help me get a plan. And God wants to help you, but you've got to take the step. Get on DaveRamsey.com this afternoon or whatever the website is. Google it, Financial Peace University. We're going to start today. We're not going to live the way we've lived before because it's so painful and so hard. So that we can be able to say, yes, I can do that, and yes, we can do that in years to come. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the words that God, your desire for us always, in really every area of our life, is to make change. Lord, when we stay the same, we grow stagnant. When we stay the same, we don't move forward. We're not transformed. And so God, really in every area of our lives, we need to pray that we would be willing to make changes. For some in the room this morning, and I didn't even preach on this, but for some witnessing the baptism this morning, the biggest change you need to make is to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. There's never been a moment when you've asked Jesus Christ to step out of heaven into your heart to make him your Savior and your Lord. But you could do that today. Be the best decision you will ever make in your entire life. Wrote in the Bibles of these two children that profess Christ, you have made the single most important decision you will ever make in your life. You can do that so simply by admitting to God you're a sinner, asking him to forgive you of all of your sins, to pray that I believe that you are the Son of God, to confess him as your Savior, commit your life to him as Lord. Lord, I want you to be. Would you change me from the inside out? He'll do it if you'll but ask. This morning for some to come and join this church family, God will call you to do that. For others, just to make changes in your life from the serious stance of your finances. To realize less is more and stress is bad and giving matters and tomorrow matters and giving is good. And God, would you say, God, I need to be free from this. I'm not where I want to be, but God, help me to get to where I need to be. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, I pray you do it this morning. God, would you give us the courage and the freedom to
respond to that which you call us to do as we make changes in our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. You respond together. Chris and I are at the front to receive. This altar is open. Folks, let's do business with God. Let's make changes right now. Let's sing together.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees.